Welcome to OncLive On Air. In today's episode, supported by Shorla Oncology, we had the pleasure of speaking with Kate Gasparini, PharmD, BCOP, BCPPS, about the use of the oral formulation of imatinib for pediatric and adult patients with select leukemias and other malignancies. In our exclusive interview, Gasparini discussed her role as a clinical pharmacy specialist in pediatric oncology, emphasizing her work in patient care, medication reviews, and supportive care. She also noted challenges in administering treatments to patients with dysphagia and emphasized the need for liquid formulations of common therapies. She explained the significance of the availability of the liquid formulation of imatinib, sharing its benefits for patients who struggle with swallowing. Gasparini also addressed potential barriers to accessing this medication, such as insurance coverage limitations, as well as the importance of considering the volume and palatability of liquid formulations to avoid adverse effects and ensure treatment adherence.
As a pharmacist, could you briefly explain your role in the management of patients with cancer and treatment planning? And you can give any specific examples, you know, obviously within certain tumor types that you want to discuss.
Sure. So I'm a clinical pharmacy specialist with 10 years of experience specifically in pediatric oncology. In my current role, I rotate through the inpatient service in three of our outpatient clinics. When I'm in the outpatient clinic, I conduct direct patient care visits. And during those visits, I review medications, including chemotherapy agents, with patients and families. I suggest modifications or adjustments to therapy in conjunction with the clinical team. I would say that my role in the management of pediatric patients with cancer consists of a lot of supportive care and symptom management for patients actively receiving chemotherapy. In terms of treatment planning, I work very closely with the team for patients starting new chemotherapy regimens or requiring a modification in therapy to recommend appropriate dosing of various agents and supportive care medications. I do education with patients and families on administration of these medications in the home with side effect and monitoring counseling. And I do assist the team with medication procurement when necessary.
What are some of the challenges with administering treatments to patients with dysphagia, whether they be pediatric patients or adult patients with difficulty swallowing?
So I would definitely say the biggest challenge with administering treatments to patients who have difficulty swallowing, whether that's a very young patient who hasn't learned how to swallow pills or capsules yet, or even our young adult patients with dysphagia, is whether these medications the patients need are available in a liquid formulation. If there's not a liquid formulation available, it is part of my role to help the team navigate whether the medications can be compounded into a liquid formulation for administration or safely dissolved or manipulated by the patient and family so that it can be given. So depending on the medication, there could be established recipes for compounding or instructions on how to dissolve. But a lot of the time, there is some digging into the data and literature required to find out how to do this most safely. I'd say another barrier would be identifying compounding pharmacies that patients can use to get medications. If made into a liquid formulation, if there is a compounding recipe available, and in cases where we do have patients and families dissolve medications for administration in the home, there's a lot of education needed to do this safely depending on the medication. A lot of the time, they need to also have supplies like gowns and masks and gloves, medicine cups, syringes, pill crutches, splitters. A lot goes into it. And it can also be very cumbersome for families. They might need education several times. And I know that I've heard directly from caregivers and parents is that they just want to do it correctly. I've had a dad say to me, I just don't want to mess this up. They just want to be able to administer it safely to their child.
With all of that in mind, what advice would you put forth to clinicians about really being diligent about educating? I guess it's you know, a two-way street, right? It's the reminding themselves and their peers to educate patients, but also, you know, keeping in mind, you know, what reminders would you put forth to patients?
We have a lot of reminders and documentation that we give patients on. This is how you safely give your oral chemotherapy at home. So it can be overwhelming, though, for families. So I always tell them, if you get home and you forget what you're doing, please call clinic. I will call you. I will go through this with you as many times as you need to feel safe in giving this, to your child. It can be very time consuming and cumbersome to them. It's helpful to have a checklist of what they need to have in the home in order to give it safely. In the beginning, written out instructions, very like plain language of this dissolve in this many mLs. This is how you discard of the medication. So anything like that, that can kind of supplement the in-person education that we are doing for patients.
Looking at the recent liquid formulation of imatinib. So what are some of the considerations that you have for treating physicians? Really advice that they should consider when selecting a liquid formulation of this agent.
Sure. So I was very excited to learn about the approval for Imkaldi, considering in my role for, as long as I've been doing it, I have, educated patients and families on either dissolving imatinib for use or helping find a compounding pharmacy that could make the extemporaneously compounded oral suspension. It's great because it's always going to be the preference of the team to use a dosage form that is easiest for patients and families to administer. And for children or patients who are unable to swallow, it's certainly usually the commercially available liquid formulation. I think a potential barrier that I could anticipate would be insurance coverage of a newer formulation of a medication and the time it may take to get all the necessary approvals and getting it filled through specialty pharmacy. A lot of the times it might be urgent when we need to start this therapy for patients. And so I could envision, us needing to consider that and whether we would need to start the patient with first dissolving the tablets or compounded suspension while we are working to obtain this formulation for patients. But it's so great that it is available to patients because they're on this therapy for a long time. It makes dose modifications easier and certainly administering it directly to the patients in a formulation that's easy to give.
With, sort of the emergence of liquid formulations, are there any sort of adverse effect profiles that are unique to those sorts of formulations specifically?
So for the most part, I feel that in general, the liquid formulations have the same general adverse effect profile. But a key consideration that I always think of with liquid formulations is volume. So for our younger patients or even our young adult patients with dysphagia, larger volumes can oftentimes be difficult for them to tolerate. And another concern is, of course, palatability and taste. So whether it's something that a child is going to be able to tolerate taking each day. So for any liquid formulations that have a larger volume or don't taste as good, I do worry about it potentially causing nausea or there being any type of aversion that could lead to poor adherence as a result of that.
Starting to conclude here, what is your main takeaway message for colleagues regarding the value of liquid formulations that we just discussed and their role in treatment for pediatric patients?
For many who don't work directly or often with pediatric patients or those with dysphagia, whether or not a medication is available as a liquid formulation may seem very trivial. But for those of us who work every day with this patient population, we know it really makes all the difference. It can truly improve the quality of life for patients and families to have a liquid formulation that's easy to administer, readily available for a patient that has difficulty swallowing, especially for oral chemotherapy agents, which are essential to the treatment of certain pediatric cancers. It's certainly one less thing for our patients and families to worry about when they're undergoing these intensive cancer treatments. And we as the treating team know that the patient will be able to get the oral chemotherapy safely and reliably when it comes as a liquid formulation. It's just an additional peace of mind.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by Shorla Oncology. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.